We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. I trust that you are well, that the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. We carry on with our teaching and just looking at the scriptures. And one of the things that you see that Paul warns to Timothy is about the times that he will be living in. You know, as a pastor, asking Timothy to go and pastor the church in Ephesus, one of the things that he is concerned with is that the opposition and the kind of evil that men will grow into, and to just prepare his son Timothy to be able to face some of those men who are going to resist the work of the gospel, or to resist, you know, even whatever it is that you're doing, be it in the workplace, be it in the family, there's always going to be some form of opposition or resistance. And if you are not yet prepared for it, better mentally, psychologically, emotionally, then you can easily fall into the traps of the devil. Remember when initially we saw where in chapter 2, where it was clear that the servant of God must not strive, he must not end up in quarrels and genealogies and, you know, all these things that will bring in confusion and does not profit the hearers, but, you know, focus on rightly dividing the word of truth. And then because, you know, there are those like Himenaeus and Philetus who, you know, through their own doctrines and their gang, it was spreading like cancer and, you know, destroying the faith of those that hear him. So in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, he now tells him of the dangerous times, or the perilous times and perilous men. You know, these are bad men and also bad times. So chapter 3 verse 1 says, but know this, that means you must have a knowing, you must be clear and you must be certain that in the last days. And I remember last time we said the last days started from the time when Jesus resurrected until the time when he shall come back. So these are the last days. We're already in the last days. So the last days started immediately after Christ ascended, resurrected and ascended and sat at the throne of the Father, the right hand of the Father, until the time when he shall return to take over, you know, to do the rapture and then to final judgment. All these are the last days. So it says, in the last days, perilous times, or dangerous times, or difficult times will come. So it's not a matter of when or if they come. It is just a matter of when. So it is, they will come. So we must expect it. If you are aware that difficult times will come and difficult men will come, you will be prepared. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and loving, and forgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Verse 6, for this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, that they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. You can see when he speaks about these dangerous times and these perilous men, you know, it says that it speaks of the men that we are going to encounter. And you can see how it says it's lovers of themselves. That means they already start from a place of selfishness. So you can see, I mean, whether you look at the church, whether you look at the world, each and every day you encounter men who are lovers of themselves. They are lovers of money. They are boasters. They are proud. They are blasphemers. You know, I mean, the use of curse words is like endless. You know, they blaspheme, they speak evil about God. You know, I mean, like, you just see any post where someone will say, oh, I thank God for this. Now, of course, when things go wrong, someone will just write there, oh, so where is your God? You know, and all these things. There's so much blasphemy where people find God as something to be ridiculed, you know. And if you, the moment you mention, oh, you're a religious person, that's what they will label you at. They will label you, do you still believe in that, in those things, you know? You know, style up, we're in the modern era. So those are some of the kind of statements that you will hear. And then you can see how they will be disobedient to parents. So that means that God expects that those that are walking according to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, there is a point where they will even honor their parents. They will be obedient to parents. You can see they are unthankful, they are unholy, they are unloving, they don't have any love, they are unforgiving, they are slanderers, you know, they spoil the names of people, they don't have any self-control. They're brutal, you know, and they get you, man, they can crush you, you know, they're brutal. They're despisers of good. You know, anyone that does anything good, I you know, from time to time I see this post on Facebook, someone just taking a picture of a big church, you know, a big development of a church, and then with all the land and, you know, all these things, and someone will ask, why don't these people not start a factory? You know, if they had done a factory, they would have, you know, they would have developed more and not just a church. And you ask yourself, this person that is speaking, why don't they not form that factory that they want to start? But you see, but just because they are despisers of anything good. And, you know, of course, when the church is not doing well, they'll also be the ones who will speak evil of it. And they will just ask, where is your God? Your God cannot do this. But then for those that are doing well and producing even results that are beyond their understanding, they will now also say this, they will despise the good. So you find all that. A lot of blasphemy of men. You can see traitors, headstrong. They are proud, haughty. You know, they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And sadly, especially this aspect of pleasure, there are things that God expected, you know, of people, of nations, of individuals, and they slowly replace that place of God with pleasure. And you see, when that times happen, and these things happen, slowly the drift takes place. You know, it's called a slow fade. That means it doesn't start immediately on the spot, but it gradually pulls away. One pulls away, pulls away, pulls away, and before you know it, they're out of the purposes of God. And that's why he says, whenever you meet such kind of people, they have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And this is a sad thing about many people. They don't really just outwardly reject God, but they have a form of godliness. It's like an idea of religion. They live in the religious aspect. You know, it's a form of godliness, but at the same time, they deny the power of God. So it's like their life is a contradiction. In that one moment, they speak good things of, oh, God has been good, God has been helping us. But then when you bring the aspect, can we depend on God for this? Then you see they're actually in the same way. They deny the power of God. That means they deny the power of God and the influence of God over their own lives, you know. And look at what Paul tells Timothy, from such people, turn away. Don't even be near them. You know, he says, for these guys, this kind of people, they are known. Their end result is they creep into the homes of gullible women who are laden down with sins, and they take captive, you know, they are taking advantage of people. They sleep with people's wives, you know, they, you know, taking led away by, you know, gullible women who are led away by various lusts, you know, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's very sad for someone to be described as that you are ever learning. That means you always appear like you are learning. You always appear that you're being taught. You know the scriptures, but you're not coming to a knowledge of the truth. You're not coming to the full revelation of who Christ is and what Christ has done in your life and who Christ has become to you. And for that, that he becomes the one that lives in your life, no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives through you. So now, when you think about that, then it is a reality of people who still are controlled by the flesh. Remember, they are lovers of self and lovers of flesh. And sadly, after sin, the next enemy of man is flesh or self. That means that if you have not yet conquered, you can conquer sin, but then the next level of battle that you will need to fight is you need to conquer yourself, or you need to conquer your flesh. And this is only conquered by taking it to the cross. That's why Jesus said, if any man must come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So there is that place where you must get to a point of self-denial. Now, if you've not yet conquered self, then you still are in that battle. And you can see that's why it says, in the last days, you're going to have men who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, they deny the ability, they deny the influence of God. They do not want to be governed by God. That is a sad reality. They do not want to come under authority. They say, we also know God. We also hear from God. You know, when people say, does God only speak to the pastor or to this person alone? To them, they consider that they are also at the same level, and whatever they can do, it's up to them. They really don't care. Now look at verse 8, and it says, now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. Now who are Jannes and Jambres? These were the magicians of Egypt. Remember when Moses went with the rod of Moses, which is also called the rod of God. You know, in the same scriptures you will find, initially it started as the rod of Moses, but then the Bible says, then Moses took the rod of God. That means that the rod that he took eventually became the rod of God. And as they opposed Moses, when he threw down the staff, it became a snake. Then Pharaoh brought the magicians, and they also threw down their staffs, and it became snakes. But the Bible says, but the rod of Moses swallowed the other snakes of the magicians. That means they went home without rods, because they were swallowed up. Why? Because in as much as the devil tries, has a form of demonstration, the greatest power will always be the power of God. And sadly, many will still be deceived by that small demonstration of the devil of power. And because they are deceived, they are eager to be deceived, they are taken captive by the devil. So the resistance is going to come. And you can see these are people who, you know, in the Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. It also shows that, and that it is also those that also know their God. And you see, there are those who are also trained in the ways of darkness. They also know their God in a small g, in their fashion. And so when they come with their powers, unless we come with the power of God, we will not be able to resist them. We will not be able to stand firm. You know, you go for interviews, and others have gone with charms, others slept with the house of witch doctors. But you, as a believer, you must have gone and clothed by the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you are dependent on God, you're dependent on the power of God, and you know that it is not just an easy battle. You are going to face a battle. And when you understand that it is warfare, then you shall know and you shall be able to stand. The Bible says, this man will also resist the truth. They are men of corrupt minds. They are disapproved concerning the faith. That means their system, you know, their software is corrupted. You know, and the Bible says, to the pure, all things are pure. And to the believing, and those who believe, nothing is impure. In fact, but those that do not believe, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. That means their system, the underlying system within them is corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions deny them. Deny him. That means you find these people live at a point of contradiction. Someone, yes, has a language, Christianese, as they call it, has a Christianese language, but then their character, their actions, their lifestyle is a contradiction. And Timothy is told, from such kind of people, avoid them. Don't walk with them. Know that they will try and resist you, but you stand firm. And then it says, they are men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. It's very sad for the scriptures to say you are disapproved. Think about the Simon the sorcerer, and even the Bible still calls him Simon the sorcerer because his heart had not yet changed. He followed after Stephen when Philip went and preached in Samaria, and there was great miracles and signs, he believed too, and he joined, he was baptized. But when the apostles came, you know, Peter and John, and they laid hands on the people, and the Bible says, and they received the Holy Spirit, he said, give me this power too, that whoever I lay my hands on shall receive this gift. And he was told, may you and your money perish, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. That means that he was disapproved concerning the faith, in as much as he tried to enter, in as much as he did, he had not yet conquered his inner desires, his inner self. So you see, they are men of corrupt minds. That means their system is still corrupted, and they are disapproved concerning the faith. And the Bible says, and they will progress no further, for their folly or for their foolishness would be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So you can be clear of this, that at the end of the day, all these people who resist the gospel, who do things on their own ability, who are resisting the truth, at the end of the day, God will reveal it. There is nothing that is hidden that will not be seen. Men who deny the gospel, men who deny the truth, men who live double lives, double standard lives, men who love pleasure rather than God, men who are hiding things, all these things will become clear. And it's sad, they have a form of godliness, but they still deny the power of God, and which is very sad. And I pray that God will really help us to not be this, to not end up into, you know, into living these kinds of double lives that we show one side, and the people of the world also know you from the other side, you know, and the church also knows you from another side. And at times, you know, you see this in the middle and you're like, oh, what a contradiction, what a contradiction. And it is sad, but I pray that God will help us. Now let us look at verse 10. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul does not leave Timothy without direction. And you can see it tells him that you have the example of me. You have seen my doctrine. You have carefully followed it. My manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my love, my perseverance, persecutions. In fact, apart from that life, he's like, look, even the troubles that I've gone through, remember the afflictions that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Think of how Paul was stoned and left for dead, and the believers gathered around him, and then he stood up. You know, all the persecutions he endured, and the Bible says you can be sure of it. Even though you're going to face this from different kind of men, the Lord delivered me from all of them. God is going to deliver his people. God will rescue you. It will look like you're the only one standing against the current, against the tide. But I can assure you, as long as you have Christ in you, he shall deliver you from the traps of evil men and imposters. You know, pretenders, we spoke about these dangerous men who oppose the truth. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the truth. They have, you know, they come ready to resist. They use their forces, they use their powers, they use their witchcraft. But you see, the power of God will always override every power of the devil. And God is telling Timothy, through the word of God is telling us, and Paul is telling Timothy, you can stand firm. Just know that, yes, if you want to live a godly life, you're going to endure persecution. You're going to be persecuted. In fact, he says, and everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And know this, sadly, the evil men and imposters are going to get worse. So don't expect it's going to get better. It's going to get worse. New policies are going to come into place. They are going to try and regulate the churches, you know, to try and regulate crusades and outdoor meetings, and all these things are going to be regulated, trying to make sure soundproofing and all these things and charging of leaders and all that. But all, just know this, at the end of the day, the Lord shall deliver each and every believer from this moment. And is told, look here, you can follow me. Importantly also, you can continue the things you have learned and you have been convinced of, and follow the scriptures. And then by the grace of God, you'll be able to continue from there. It is the scriptures that are the foundation of the Christian walk and the foundation of the man of God. So I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us insight into this. My brother, you are welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. Not much to add, indeed. We just pray that God gives us the grace to live by the scripture, to live by his ways and his teaching. Mm. There is no in between.
Yeah.
It's either on the side of evil or on the side of good. And we pray that God gives us the grace to remain firm and steadfast in his ways.
Amen. Amen. No in between. I love that. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And indeed, you've called us to stand firm. You've called us to not waver from one decision over another, to not just be on the right and also on the left, but Lord, to stay with you, O God, to not be in between, O God, because you're either hot or cold and not lukewarm. And I thank you for your word that is able to speak to us, to give us warnings, to give us a direction, to know the things that we need to stand on, O God, to be lovers of God, not lovers of pleasure, O God, to stand firm with you, O God. And I pray for your mercies where we have failed in one way or another, that you show us mercy, cleanse us, purify us, guide our steps, O God. We commit ourselves before you, commit the weak before you, that your hand and power shall go ahead of us. You shall lead us, you shall direct us, you shall strengthen us, O God. Walk with us, O God. We experience your power, your presence, and your love, O God. May your hand and mercy direct our steps, guide us, watch over us, keep and sustain us, be a shield, be our portion, be our all in all. We look unto you, O God. May your name be magnified. May your name be glorified. Bless our day, bless our going, bless our coming. Touch all those that are unwell. May your hand and power be upon them, O God. We trust in you, we depend on you, and we return all the glory to you, O God. We thank you and we honor you. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name and believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Bless a blessed day.